Our scripture is taken from John 15:11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might be made in you, and that your joy might be filled.
Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
For those who long to be with him more than anything else, that their joy can be full. This morning, we will talk about joy. And before we start, I want to begin with a question, and I want to ask you, how can you picture joy? What image or mental picture flashes in your mind, you can see before your eyes when you hear the word joy? It's not a rhetorical question. I'd like some of you maybe share what you can see. So speak up. Huh? Birth of the child. Excellent. Any other images of joy? Recovering from sickness. What was it? Seeing Jesus. Peace, content. Huh? Being with God. I know, being in church, you're trying to share some maybe church-like images. But in one church, when I asked this question, they told me, nobody as joyful as my dog when I come home. You know, they cannot lie. They express their emotion, they jump, they wiggle their tail, and so excited. Anybody else has any vivid images of joy? Someone said the retirement Super Bowl. Amen. 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 I want to share my image of joy. Because you see, we have different ideas about joy. And there is a worldly definition of joy, there is a biblical definition of joy, and sometimes it could be different. When I think about joy, and after studying the Bible, I'm trying to think about this peaceful but very deep feeling. And I can see it. I have two daughters, and when I see them playing in a dollhouse, with a dollhouse and something, and there is a moment when they so much immerse in their play, and they lose everything around. They forget everything around, and they begin to sing. Have you ever watched kids playing and singing? It means that they truly, truly joyful. And it's like a deep joy. It's not like they're just excited because you gave them an expensive gift. They're jumping up and down. But it's a little bit different. When they're just doing something, playing, and they begin to sing, it means that they're really peaceful, joyful. This is the picture that image comes to me. But I want to continue to asking you questions. So it's not just me preaching. You're preaching too today. What would be the biblical images of joy? Any of you can think about any images of joy in the Bible? Returning the prodigal son. Beautiful. Any other images? Mary seeing Jesus in the tomb. Lazarus coming forth. The birth of Jesus and the angels singing, excitement. My image that came to my mind was Paul and Silas when they were singing in the middle of the night in the prison. I don't know, for me, I guess many times joy associated with singing. But when I think about biblical images, I like everything that you mentioned. But mine will be when Paul and Silas were singing in the middle of the night in this dark prison where there is no light, no electricity, and they are singing to the Lord because they cannot help but their hearts are joyful. Well, I'd like to continue to ask you questions. What verses from the Bible jump at you when you think about joy? Say it again. Amen. Anybody else? Any other verses that jump at you from the Bible? Amen. Yes, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Any other? I'm surprised nobody mentioned, maybe you did and I didn't hear, the one of those short verses, rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I believe, or maybe 16. Rejoice always. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. And they say that the Paul, when he was writing Philippians, he was in prison. And he was writing those words, rejoice. Psalm 16:11 has a verse that I really like. It says, there is a fullness of joy in your presence. Fullness of joy in your presence. There are many passages. It's a biblical theme. There is another passage that I expected somebody to mention, but you all know as soon as I will start speaking. For the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy. Joy comes right after love. Well, this morning we will do a study on joy in the Bible, but we'll focus on we'll go through several passages, but the one that we will zero in is the words of Jesus Christ found in Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 11. So if you didn't open it yet, I invite you to open in your Bible, Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 11. And I will read it out loud from New King James Version. The words of Jesus Christ. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Let's dwell on this passage and try to see what it speaks to us today. First of all, we know that this is the words of Jesus Christ. And what is it that he communicated in here? What is it that he wants us to have? But it's not just joy. There is another word after that. Full. Full. And someone already got it. It says that we will have his joy. There are two parts to this verse. First of all, he says that my joy may remain in you. He wants his joy to be where? In us. You see, I mentioned it earlier that when we think about joy, many times we think about things that happen to us. But here, Christ talks about joy that has a different nature. He says, not just any joy. It's not the joy of getting a reward, winning a lottery or something. He says, I would like my joy to be in you. What is it that brings joy to him? What is it that is his joy? And it's interesting. We will reflect on it and we will study the God's word to see what is his joy. But it's interesting. When his joy remains in us, what happens? The second part of the verse. And that your joy may be full. I hope you see it right here in the passage. That when his joy is in us, what happens to our joy? it becomes full, it overflows. But the secret to have this joy that overflows is to have His joy in us. So let's find out, what is it, His joy? Bible always explains itself. If we deliberate and patient to study it, the verse begins with the words, "These things I have spoken to you." This is the clue. If we will look at the things that he was speaking, then we understand about the nature of his joy. So we just need to look at the context of this chapter. The immediate context are the verses that precede verse 11. And if you read verse 9, what are the things that he was talking about, it will give you an idea about his joy. Verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In these two verses, what are the words that you see more often? Abide. He talks about love, he talks about commandments, but the word that he is using, I counted it three times, abide. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, then you abide in my life, in my love. You see, Christ talking to his disciples about abiding in him. And he says, when this happens, when you have this intimate, close relationship, connection, when you abide in me, I abide in you, then you have what? Joy. Then you have joy. It's interesting. If you look at the bigger context, chapter 15 starts with the words of Christ talking about what? Vine. He's saying, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, then you can do many things. This is the context. This is what he's talking about and many other things, how we can abide in him. And then he comes with the verse 11 saying, these things, talking about abiding in me, being connected to me, I spoke to you, why? That my joy may remain in you. There are two sources of joy for Christ. One is to see us in heaven, to be together. And the second one, if you read very carefully all the verses that preceded it, he always talking about abiding in him, but he is using a certain example. He says, you need to be abide in me just as I do what? Abide where? With my Father. This is the source of joy and strength for Christ. His intimate connection with the Heavenly Father. When he constantly in the presence of the Father, he has this joy. It's not just the temporary excitement, but it's peace, it's the feeling of happiness, joy that he has because he always connected to his Heavenly Father. And this is what he's talking. You know, you need to have the same connection with me as I have with my Heavenly Father. And if you have this connection, then you will experience the same quality of joy that I have. Then my joy will be in you. I want to illustrate it with the joy that we have. I was thinking a lot about joy preparing this sermon, and I discovered, it's my experience, that I'm the most joyful when I'm around people whom I love and who love me. And when you together, it doesn't matter what you do. You can just sit together around those and be silent. I remember I just came back from Russia. It was 2 months ago that I made the trip to see my family, especially my mother. And when I was going there, I was so excited. And my mom and I, we had the same attitude. We were so anxious to see each other that she said, "When you come, I just will hug you. You will sit with me, and I wouldn't let you go anywhere. You will be sitting by my side. That's it." And you know, my idea was, I just want to come, and I don't want to see many friends. I'd like to see friends and all this, but I was thinking, more than anything else, I just want to be with her. I want to be with my brother. And probably people today, they will use the word hang out. Like, it means like you together, and it seems like you don't do anything productive. But it's the most joyful time when you with those whom you love. And the opposite of joy, what is the opposite of joy? Sadness. When you think about what brings sadness to you, when you separated from those whom you love. Source of joy, when you together with those whom you love. The sadness when you cannot be together, when you separated from those whom you love. And I'd like now to see if, to check this idea with the Bible. Christ here, in this chapter, he talks about connected to him. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in my love. Do my commandments that you can abide in me and my love can abide in you. And then, my joy, being connected to the Father, that you can be connected to me, you will have this joy and your joy will be full. Being together, being connected. What was the saddest time in the life of Christ? Crucifixion. Can you be more specific? Separation from his Father. If you remember, Christ said there was a moment when Christ was separated from God. And this was a moment when he was on the cross and all the sins of the world were placed on him, and those sins separated him from the Father. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was the saddest moment. And we think it was the sin that brought the sadness, but it was not the sin. It was separation from God. And I don't think many of us truly get it. That if you think about it, Christ and his heavenly Father, they were together. They've never been separated before. He was always together with his heavenly Father. And he was trying to communicate it to his disciples, to us, that you need to be also together. You need to be connected. You need to be abiding in me, that I can abide in you. And then you will have this joy, that nothing can take your joy away. Then you can be in the middle of the night, in the middle of the prison, you can sing like Paul and Silas because they were connected to God. Doesn't matter what was happening to them. And the saddest moment for Christ was when he was separated from God. And we don't contemplate and think about it, but if you check the passages that talk about joy in the Bible, it's very profound. I quoted one Psalm 16, I believe 11, it says, "There is a fullness of joy in your presence." When we're in the presence of God, we're joyful. We connected to God. This is what brings joy. And the opposite is, when we separated from God, we don't have joy. There is a passage that I want to read also in the book of Psalms. You probably all know this famous Psalm 51 that David wrote, Psalm of Repentance. And it's interesting that there are words there that talk about joy. In his prayer, in verse 12, Psalm 51, verse 12, David says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." He says, restore to me the joy. Because when he sinned, he was what? Separated. What happens when we saved? Our sins are forgiven. We can be in the presence of God. What is the purpose of salvation? Just forgive our sins and that's it? No. The purpose of salvation to bring us back to God, to reconnect us to God, because sins separate us from God. So there is joy when our sins are forgiven, but the joy becomes complete when we connect it to the Heavenly Father, when we together with Jesus, when Holy Spirit abides in us. That's why he says, restore to me the joy of salvation. And if you look, as always, it's important to look at the context. In the previous verse, he says, verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take away, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He says, you know, I want to be in your presence. Restore to me this joy, being in your presence, being connected to you. This is the essence of joy, being together with God. And the opposite of it is being separated from God. Many times we miss it. And the passage that I mentioned earlier at the very beginning about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we always talk and preach about love. But not as often we talk and think about joy. For the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love, joy. And if you think about this verse more, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is in us, we have what? Joy. When we connected to God, when we abide in Him, He abides in us, we have joy. So studying the Bible, I came up with definition of joy. Joy is the outward expression of the inward connection to God. So joy is just the outward expression of the inward connection to God. Therefore, if you find yourself in your walk through life that you don't have joy, what does it mean? It means that you lost it. You lost the connection with God. I think it would be healthy if once in a while we ask ourselves, do I have joy? Because you see, we can say that we love people in our own way, and we can fake it and deceive ourselves, but with joy it's a little bit more difficult. But every moment when you don't have joy, it means that you need to reconnect to God. Because if you connected to God, you would be able to sing in the middle of whatever is happening to you. If you connected to God. If you don't kid yourself. Therefore, it's not a self-help advice. You know how they say, fake it until you make it. If you don't have a joy, begin to produce it, pretend it, and act it up. No. If you don't have a joy, you need to look for God. You need to reconnect to God. Seek God with all your heart and with all your mind. It's not about faking. It's about reconnecting to God. This is the reason, because joy is the fruit. It's byproduct of abiding in God and Him abiding in you. And you know, our religion is a reflection of our picture of God that we have. And many of us have a very distorted picture of God. Somehow, traditionally, we got this idea, and we use it on the Bible because the Bible describes Christ as the man of sorrow. And we think if you real Christian, you will be very serious and you will be very sorrowful. And we carry this image like a suffering servant around, but I think it's a distorted picture of God. Why do I say this? Let me ask you two questions. Number one, you agree with me that Jesus was a point of attraction for children, right? Can you see a depressed, miserable person who attracts children? Who usually attracts children? Joyful person that radiates something. Love, care, joy. Another thing that probably you didn't think much about Jesus and the way he carried himself is what he was known for and accused by many Pharisees, because he was spending his time in what way? What he was doing? He was spending time with sinners. And if I will use the modern word, he was partying all the time. He was accused by Pharisees because he was in different homes, spending time, visiting with people. And how do you think those visits went? They were all quiet, serious. It was a special time when they were talking, communicating, and he was radiating this peace, this joy. But again, it's not the joy like when we consider having a party and everybody is excited and jumping up and down. No, his joy was a heavenly nature because he was constantly connected to God. He had this peace, he had this joy. It's a heavenly joy that he was radiating around himself. Therefore, I invite us to get it what it's right. The right picture of God, the right picture of Christ, and realize that when you know God, you don't have to fake it. You will have this joy. You might be going through the very taxing, sorrowful time in your life. And maybe there are times when you're not smiling, but you still have inner joy that nothing, nobody can take away from you. Because you still connected to God. Unfortunately, many times the picture of God that people see in us, come and be miserable as I am. Seriously, we are not happy. We don't have joy in our life. And sometimes people look at us and say, I don't want to be miserable as you are. But if we truly know God, if we know God, if we connected to God, we cannot help but we'll have this byproduct of being connected to God. We'll have this joy being together with Him. That's why there is another passage in the Bible that, and it actually it was one of the images that you mentioned, Luke chapter 15, this famous chapter about lost sheep, lost coin, and a prodigal son. And here in this chapter, there is a verse about joy too. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Talking about the angels, that they are rejoicing, and what is the reason for their joy? Verse 10, Luke 15, 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And again, the context for this verse was when he was sharing three stories about lost sheep, lost coin, and the prodigal son. When someone comes back and they reunite, they are together with God. So today we're excited, we're celebrating baptism. Four people are getting baptized. It's a joyful event when someone publicly makes a stand that they want to join to God. I know that everyone, probably of those who are getting baptized, you gave your heart to Jesus probably a long time ago, and you already reunited. But it's a little bit different when you do it publicly. Just, I believe, was Chris said about picture of joy, and he said when he got married, right? So, and today we will be celebrating when people are getting married to God. It's a joyful. Again, remember that joy when we're together with those whom we love. And baptism is a public announcement that we are joining, we entering into covenant relationship with God. Therefore, we have this joy. And if we continue to work on it, our joy can be fulfilled. So we will be celebrating in a minute. We will transition to this exciting, joyful event, part of worship service. And before I read the verse again, the one that we started for the closing, I just want to say that I always admired and continue to admire the name of your church, Joy of Troy, and hope it brings even more meaning today, Joy of Troy. So I invite, as Pam is making her way up here to transition to this exciting part of our worship service, I would like to read again the passage that we started, Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Kozloff. Well, we move into a joyous portion of our worship service today. I would like to invite, first of all, our candidates to come up with those that have been studying with them. So I want to ask Christina to come up, and Annette, and just stand here at the front. I'd like to invite Ben and Chris and Patty to come up. And I don't see Sister Newsom here today, but I would like to invite Elder and Miss Simmons to come on up with Darius. And I'm just going to take a moment to introduce everyone. Christina has been studying with Annette. Her husband was baptized a while ago by Pastor Kozloff. And Christina has been studying with Annette for a while, and she has made the decision to turn her life over to Christ and join us in the Joy of Troy. And then we have Patty and Chris, who were recently married and are still shining in the joy that they have with each other. Their journey started with Charles and Lori, continued by Charles's brother Ben. Nothing like keeping it in the family. And they have continued their studies, and they too have decided, as they embark on marriage together, that they will also embark on a relationship with God as well. And then Darius has been studying with Sister Newsom and his grandparents, and he has also made the decision to become a member of the family of God through baptism and a public expression of his love and faith in Christ. We want to thank all of those that have mentored, and we want to rejoice with the candidates as they move towards baptism. I have three questions for you. You've all gone through the beliefs, or are still in the process of going through the beliefs of the Adventist faith. However, I have three short questions for your vows. And if you agree with them, I just ask you all to say yes at the end of the question. Number one, do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And do you desire to live your life in a relationship with him? Do you accept the teaching of the Bible as expressed in the statement of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? And do you pledge by God's grace to live your life in harmony with these teachings? Do you desire to be baptized as a public expression of your belief in Jesus Christ, to be accepted into the fellowship of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to support the church and its mission as a faithful steward by your personal influence, tithes, and offering, and a life of service. Amen. I now present the candidates for membership and baptism into the church. I ask the church to vote by saying aye or raising your hand if you accept these candidates. Aye. Are there any that would object? All right. We are going to sing our last song. The candidates and the deacons and deaconesses will exit to go downstairs now to prepare. And then after we finish the last song, we will exit ourselves to go downstairs for the baptism.
Heavenly Father, we're so blessed to have this joy knowing you, worship you, being in your presence, abiding in you. Heavenly Father, we're looking forward to the day when we can see you face to face. And we pray that your joy and our joy can be complete and full in you. Heavenly Father, we're so excited and joyful that we can witness when these four people making the most important decision in their life, crossing from death to life, joining you and your church family. We pray once again that our joy be fulfilled in you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen.